Welcome to the Heather Andrews Show, here to show you how our choices today do affect other people, our kids, our relationships, our careers, and businesses, which cause generational impact. You will hear from guests and experts from around the world. She's here to help you follow through on the it to live a stellar life. And now, here's your host, Heather Andrews.
Welcome to our show, everyone, and thank you for being with us today. We have Corby Furrow with us, and we're going to talk to her about breaking through subconscious beliefs and emotions that are getting in the way of the success and happiness you want for your life. Welcome to the show, Corby. I'm so excited to have you on today.
Thanks, Heather. I'm excited to be here.
Perfect. So tell us a little bit about how you began your journey and learning how to break through these belief systems.
Well, I never even knew these belief systems existed, to tell you the truth. It's just how we live our life. Most of us are doing the best we can and moving through. And when I lost my job after 26 years, it really brought forth these beliefs I had about myself, which I kind of felt underneath the surface. And it came about my self-worth, how I've viewed the world, how I viewed me. And so I hit a very low point in my life at that point. And I was really searching for things that could help me. And unknowingly, that help came in the form of emotional freedom techniques. And I found that by chance, or by design, I guess, as some would say, in Toronto at a coaching forum. And from there, it just changed my life and changed the direction of where I was going. I can't even imagine where I would be right now if I hadn't found tools such as emotional freedom techniques, which some know as tapping, to help uncover these emotional blocks and beliefs that I had in my life, which were holding me back from being successful and truly enjoying the success that I already had. You know, I couldn't see it because of the subconscious stuff that was going on, because, you know, 95% of ourself is subconscious and 5% is conscious. So, you know, to think that we're run by our mind and that we have more power there doesn't play out by the math.
I love it. I love how you, there's more and more coming out about the tapping and the EFT technique that you teach. And I know for me personally, when you did it on me, it was like, there was just, it really calmed my system down. It just really helped calm me. And I just, Can you give a little bit more information to our listeners who may have heard of EFT or tapping technique, but really, like, what does it actually do?
Yeah, so a lot of people will have heard of more likely tapping than emotional freedom techniques, and they kind of interchange the two. But how we look at tapping is it's working on the brain, and it's working on the amygdala center in the brain, which is our fight and flight modalities. So when we get triggered or have a response that, say, we're nervous before we have to go speak, or, you know, we have a big presentation to do, or we just have to have a difficult conversation, or anything that happens like that, so we get that nervous feeling. So when we can tap on meridian points. So it's like having, instead of getting acupuncture, we do acupressure on meridian points on the body, which then works on the amygdala in the body and starts sending the good dopamine and the serotonin back into the body versus the adrenaline that we're pumping out. So then we can get that calming effect. So which actually does physically bring the, you know, blood that from our frontal cortex, which has been draining when we get into that fight or flight mode, it allows it to come back into our head so that we have full resources to deal with whatever it is that we're having to do. So it's very powerful that way in the moment of a self-regulation. Now, if you want to go further, because, you know, those are great things like, you know, meditation and deep breathing, and all those things are great for in the moment, relaxing, calming your system so you can handle whatever's in the moment. If you want to go further, you have to do what's called a gold standard. And that's where you dig right deep into, you know, beliefs that you didn't even know, or challenge beliefs that are holding you back. And where did they come from? And often it's because when an incident happens to us that has an emotional component that sticks with us, and that's what drives us in our subconscious. So when we get into those, then we can actually look at, you know, what happened, whatever stage of life we were at. And usually it's based on one perspective. And when we can dig through that and say, and give it a new perspective actually, and see, you know, what actually might have happened or gone on, because now you've got a raft of information through your own life that you can actually look at it a little bit differently. And so when we take that emotional charge out of the memory that keeps triggering us, because, you know, if you see a dog and say you were chased by a dog when you were a child and you become fearful of every single dog we label as that. So that trigger, so if we can go back to where that was triggering you, then we take that emotion out. You know, it's not that you're going to be, oh, I'm never afraid of a dog again, but it'll lessen that for you so that you can actually see, is this dog a threat or isn't it? Versus every dog's a threat. You know, so this is where it works on, and it takes that emotional charge. Now you can use the wisdom of the memory because you're not triggered by it. And when you're triggered by something, you see it through the past lens. And I'll give you an example of this. Recently, I had a lady who I've just recently met, and the other night I met her daughter for the first time. And so this lady shared with me after that I had triggered her because I look like, I guess, an aunt of hers who she doesn't have a good relationship. So immediately, she didn't like me without even knowing me. And even though logically it didn't make sense, but because the trigger was so strong, see, the association of me and this other lady was so strong that she couldn't see me for me. And that's what happens when we're emotionally charged, is that we can't see what's actually happening in the reality in that moment. So that's what the beauty of this technique is. We can eliminate or reduce that shaded lens that we're looking through.
Living the stellar life. This is the Heather Andrews Show.
Wow. That reminds me of a course I was at, and it came out after probably two sessions of working in this course. And the one lady came up to me and she said, "You remind me, I see a lot of my own self in you and I don't like it." And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because I mean, right from the minute that she looked in my eyes, I got the cold shoulder. And then as she kind of broke down her barriers and got more into, you know, what was triggering her, it was sort of almost the same thing.
Yeah.
And by the time, and then in an event at the end of this course, after 5 days, we got paired together and we landed up having to do like an exercise together. And she was just like, "I love your heart and I am so sorry." And I'm like, there's nothing to be apologetic for. Yeah. Because you don't know what you don't know.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the subconscious drivers. That's how much it, you know, how powerful it is. So if you think of your own business, where is your subconscious driver for money? What was the stories you were told as a kid? You know, be grateful for what you've got. You can't have too much, or, you know, don't be boastful. So we take all of those things and it's like, so we put a cap on ourselves without even knowing it. Like, why can't I make more money than that? Because the subconscious driver is driving us, right? So until we release those, a lot of times we can't break that barrier. Or if we do break those barriers, it takes a lot of energy and we're exhausted all the time, or else some area of our life is also suffering at it, right? So I might be awesome in my business, but my family life is suffering, you know, or I don't have the relationships that I want. So if we're only successful in one area, there's usually an emotional component somewhere in everything else. And that's why I like having EFT as a tool, because as a coach, you know, we can set our goals and our actions, but if our clients are never reaching them all the time, you need something else to dig a little bit deeper and to move that person forward. And that's what I found this technique has done. And it's just has amazing results. And even for my own life, like I said, just to be free of stuff that would trigger me or hold me back, it's such an amazing feeling, and you feel so much lighter and you can just move forward in the world with so much more energy and openness to things that are happening around you and willingness to, you know, take tasks on.
Yeah. And I love how you call I love how you call yourself the transformational catalyst. Mm-hmm. I love that, because it takes on a charged component just even listening to it or
reading it. Yeah, that's why I liked it, because it's like all of us need that one little spark to set us off to go to that next level, right? And so, and that's where I see it is, you know, sometimes I just need to light that little fire and it's like, whoosh, away we go, and we can, you know, make things happen and change lives, because now you've got relationship with yourself, with your business, with others, and with your source of divine, whatever that might be for you. You know, so when you have all those components working together, then you are truly free and available to whatever's, you know, happening to you or coming your way.
Absolutely. And I know that one of the things that drew us together was when I posted about something that I was up to, and you reached out because I had a job loss and you had a job loss. And I just want to kind of just take a moment just to go through that process, because I know that those two defining moments in each of our lives has just, you know, catapulted us into totally different directions. But when you first, and I know that we have a lot of job loss in our own province right now, and the reason why I honed in on this job loss thing to beginning was because I know that there's a national process that we go through, and it's about the power of choice to come out the other side of it. And I just kind of want to take a moment and just not regurgitate the emotion, but just the process of what you went through. Because sometimes I think people say, it's almost like starting over.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's starting over from a different point because, you know, I mean, here I am mid-career and you lose your job, and it's, you know, I guess it was a blessing for me because I've had to, you know, walk people out the door many times in my job because I was an HR director, manager for many years. So I had to see that process, and that was a very hard thing to do. You know, but I didn't fully appreciate or understand what people went through. You know, we had outplacement counselors and things for them, which was good, but it still wasn't enough. So when that happened to me, you know, and it's like, I know the speeches, I know what's got to go on, but your whole world just is like, oh my gosh, this is happening to me, you know? And so, and then when you go home, it's just like, well, as soon as that happens, you know, they have to get you out because now you're a liability. Right, wrong, or indifference, that's what it is. So you need to get out. And so they get you out, and then you're like this person who's got this disease that nobody wants to talk to or touch, but really that's how we feel, right? Everybody else, most people are, you know, empathetic to us and want to well wishes, because I had good relationships with a lot of, you know, everybody that was there, you know, and it was, you know, and they were thanking me for what I did, but it was a reorganization, and that happens all the time. But at that point in my life, it was like, oh my gosh, I've been proven, you know, I couldn't do it. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't educated enough. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't, you know, all these things went through my head. And then even like, it's a mourning period, really. And you have to go through that grief process, I think, because you don't know who you are anymore, because everything's so tied up in the title and what you do. You know, what's the first thing everybody asks you? What do you do? Who cares what you do? Who cares what your title is? It's what's your passion? What do you give to the world? You know, but that's a hard one to learn. Yeah. And
because a lot of times people put their passion as their career. I'm here because I love what I do, but I don't want to get up and I don't want to go to work every day.
Exactly. And I'm too scared to make a change. So I'll just sit where it is, you know, because it's comfortable and I know how to do that. You know, that's the whole thing, is that we are fear-based beings, right? So when we get into a comfort zone, like you said, whether it's, I don't like to get up, I don't want to go to this job, I hate this, but I don't want to lose it either, right? Because this is what I know how to do. And so that's where fear takes over. It's just like when we're in a growth mode of somewhere, we get into that discomfort. And that's part of the growth. Until we get comfortable again, then that means we've made the change. But in that process, a lot of times we jump back, keep jumping back to where we're comfortable. But when the door is shut behind you, you don't have the choice to jump back to being comfortable and just riding that bus till retirement and saying, well, geez, I put in my 40 years at work and life is grand. And now, geez, and maybe you might have health problems now because you haven't looked after yourself in those years of work because you weren't happy there. So when you have dis-ease in the body, it comes out as ailments. It comes out as stress. It comes out as mental illness. It comes out as many different things for having this glorious career that we hated, you know?
Yeah.
So what's the payoff at the end, and who are we doing it for? Because when we're sitting, you know, disabled or can't function in the world anymore, our employers have moved on and have filled our spots.
Yeah, absolutely. They have, or deleted the spot.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is a whole process. And I think, you know, at the time, everybody feels it's the worst thing that's ever happened to them, when in fact, it's probably the best thing. People I've interviewed or that I've had to let go in the past, and I talked to too, most of them come out the other side and it's like, oh my gosh, I wish that I would have done this, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was, right? That, yeah, this was the best move. Not many have I come across that said, you know, oh, I wish this had never happened. you do for a while, but then you get over that. And even for myself, this is the, you know, this is the push I needed to get me into the direction that I wanted to find my passion so that I can now help so many other people in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I totally agree. I loved the two things when you said that there was a mourning period, like mm-hmm. a grieving process. And I always mm-hmm. compared it to the fact that I felt like my husband had, or, you know, my partner had come home and said, I don't love you anymore. And I found someone 20 years younger.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I can laugh about it, but really it was absolutely. Legitimate. It yeah. was, it came out of the blue, wasn't expecting it. And, you know, and I didn't expect, I just didn't expect it.
Absolutely.
And, but it was I wasn't going to move. The universe saw it and the universe needed to move me. Otherwise mm-hmm. I was going to stay there. Exactly. Yes, and you're
because
right.
Because it's comfortable.
Yeah. Well, and also too, you kind of go, well, this is what I wanted. This is what I worked so hard for. I wanted this role. And then when you get moved out, it's kind of like, wow. And I think probably one of the biggest things that I've learned in all of that process is, you know, how fragile our self-worth is, and it being, and, you know, and that understanding of self-confidence to self-esteem, and how the three are very different, and self-worth, self-love is totally internal, and how much of that we put as self-confidence because we're comfortable in what we do. And that's probably the biggest lesson that I have learned in probably the last, you know, especially my first year being out post corporate is because I did think that I wasn't good enough and what did I do wrong? But it was a restructuring. It was like, I was a number on a piece of paper to what I earned. That's it.
Absolutely. And that's what it comes down to a lot of the time, because when you're near the top, where are they going to cut? And that's where they cut. You know, good. It's not about who you are. It's about, yeah, where do you fit on that number scale most of the time? And that's fine, you know. And the good thing is that, you know, all of where we have gone is just built to enhance where we're going. You know, it's all the skills that we've gained. We don't lose any of that. That's still who we are, even if we don't have the self-confidence. Because I thought, oh, you know, I wasn't good, but now, you know, yes, I have the skill. I can do the job. You know, I know I have self-worth. That's because I've done my work now and I can see that. But because I was in that subconscious place, and it came from when I was a very young girl. And then because our brains go about proving whatever it is we believe, then we set patterns in our lives to prove that we are not worthy. You know, I think it's Brené Brown who says, you know, don't go looking for anything to prove that you're not worthy, because you will find it. It's the same if you go to find that you're worthy, you will also find that too. But so often we don't go there. We go to the negative instead of looking for the positive.
Absolutely. And that just sort of is a great segue into, you know, now that you're on this new path and you're a transformation catalyst and you help so many women use the tools of the emotional freedom technique to move through all of those blocks so they can go out and live the lives that they want. That takes us into, and we're talking about self-worth. I understand that you have you're a part of a project called What Self-Love Got to Do With It. So how has being an author taken you or opened you up, or how has that process been for you?
It's been really interesting. It's been very exciting to share, but it has brought up a lot of stuff where it's like, oh, I still have some tail enders, as we call it, of work to do in myself, because it's like, yeah, this is all great. And then as it's coming closer, it's like, oh my gosh, the fear of judgment, the fear of what if I'm not making any sense to anybody? What if it doesn't? And then it's like, just breathe. It's okay. This is my story. And if it touches anybody, great. And if it doesn't, that's okay too. You know, but it was opening up and just being vulnerable and being okay with that. I think that's the biggest learning, is that we're all the same. And the more people I coach too, it all comes down. We all, you know, as much as we think we're different, we're the same. And so the more we can share, the more we can show everybody that, you know, we're just all normal human beings, just trying to live the best life we can, just be loved and just matter. You know, so if we can bring that out in any way, shape, or form, you know, in this book to anyone and make a difference in their lives, that's just so empowering. And it just makes me feel so good to just be a part of such a project as this, you know, and you've done a wonderful job of pulling everybody together. It's just an amazing feeling.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, as like I said, I love how everybody in this book, what self-love got to do with it, has just really brought so much raw and vulnerability. And I always, you know, when the question came up and my friend, Dr. Aaron Oxall, actually came up with the name for the book, and then everybody agreed on it. And the answer really is everything. Everything that we do hinges on our self-love and our view of our own self-worth. And the other thing that one of the key points that, you know, when we were at our event, and one of the big things that Douglas Remeron always talked about was how external cues and how we use external cues to monitor our own and measure our own self-worth. And really, there's no amount, it's not an external thing, it's an internal value system.
Yeah. And it's an internal value system that's, you know, has so many things tagged onto it that may not be true today.
True, because we move through different journeys and different points of our life. And I think that's the biggest thing, is there's such a power in that, in our story. And I speak to that because I've seen so many people walk through their stories, but then when they set their story in a book, or they put it out to the world, or it just creates, because sometimes they live in their story and they keep telling themselves the story, but sometimes the story needs to be put away, and room needs to be, and a new space needs to be created for a new story. And that's what I love about what you do, because it helps you move through those old stories. Mm-hmm. They're holding you back.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because there is a thing, like say, when we keep telling the same story over and over and it's not healing us, we're actually enforcing that negative message and that thought pattern in our brain. So we're actually wiring that in harder. So when we can, as you say, move through the story and heal from it, and then not have to live in it and be that victim and be that person that doesn't believe in ourselves. So when we can move to that other side and then create that space, as you said, that allows us to the growth and the healing to happen, because now that story isn't impacting our life every day, even when we're not thinking of it.
That's beautiful. I love it. So what are sort of the, as we wrap up today, what are sort of the three tips that our listeners can take away from just implementing or being open to something new as, you know, as that transformational catalyst coach?
I think a lot of people get afraid even to dig in, because they're like, I don't want to go back to, you know, what was triggering me, what was painful. But that's where our biggest learning is. And it's, you don't have to relive anything. It's about finding that new path so that you can have the space and you don't have to live in the fear. You know, it's kind of like smokers. They think, oh, I have to smoke to calm myself. No, the body's trying to calm itself by taking you out and giving you some space. So we need to take the person out, give them some space so that they can move forward. I think the other thing is to remember that most of the things that were driving us is a perspective that we had from a younger self. So if we can stop and look at what is the perspective I need to have and what is really true for me now, then we can start unraveling, you know, what's holding us stuck let us go forward. And I think the other thing is that when we find our self-love, then we can truly help others and appreciate it. That's what I found for myself is, you know, I always wanted to help people, but I was afraid to have them help me. So then what I was telling them is, you know, I don't want your help, you know, or you can't help me. And then expecting them to just embrace me and have me help them. It doesn't work that way. So now I, you know, to fully embrace and have the support and love that's available to you, you have to have your self-worth so that you can accept the good that comes with it, as well as the other things.
Beautiful. I love it. I just love it. And I'm so blessed that I have had you on the show today. And I'm so blessed that you were a part of our project and our book, which Self-Love, What Self-Love Got to Do With It, launches on Amazon on June 20th. So we can post the link in the on Tenacious Living Network for you. Awesome. And Corby can be found on the links that are going to be posted with this recording. And you can find out more about the EFT technique. And she is truly an amazing person to work with. She's helped me break through some of my own limiting beliefs in 5 minutes before we hit the stage. So I really encourage you to reach out to her. She's an amazing person. And thank you, Corby, for being on our show today.
Thank you. It's quite an honor. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for joining us today. And we are helping you reach your stellar life, which is one of serenity, transformation, energy, laughter, love, activity, and resiliency for a better life. So till then, go out and be stellar.
Thanks for listening to The Heather Andrews Show. For more exclusive content, visit heatherandrews.press. Until next time, stay focused and live the stellar life you are meant to live by following it through.